I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
What might appear to be simply the outcome of a political process and formal changes in institutions is in reality the starting point for a transformation that has begun in each and every one of us.
Guatemala inaugurates a new president as Bernardo Arevalo is sworn in almost 9 hours late after conservatives try to block the transition of power. We'll go to Guatemala in this epic moment, then to Gaza.
The onslaught on Gaza by Israeli forces over these 100 days has unleashed wholesale destruction and levels of civilian killings at a rate that is unprecedented during my years as Secretary General. And the vast majority of those killed are women and children. Nothing can justify the collective punishment of the Palestinian people.
As the UN Secretary General and rallies around the world demand a ceasefire, humanitarian leaders issue a joint call to dramatically increase the flow of aid. And with record low turnout and temperature for an Iowa caucus, leading Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump trounces his opponents, now heads to New York for his second trial determining damages for sexually assaulting writer E. Jean Carroll. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Former President Donald Trump has won the Iowa caucus with a landslide, about 51% of the vote. Trump claimed victory in 98 of Iowa's 99 counties. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis narrowly topped former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley to place second in the first caucus of the 2024 election cycle. New Hampshire will hold the first primary a week from today. After placing fourth in Iowa, Vivek Ramaswamy suspended his campaign and endorsed Trump. Just 14% of Iowa's registered Republicans participated in the caucus, in part due to record low temperatures. Trump's victory came despite his mounting legal troubles and his refusal to debate his challengers. During a victory speech, Trump repeated his vow to deport millions of immigrants if he returns to the White House.
We're going to drill, baby, drill right away.
Yeah!
Drill, baby, drill. We're going to seal up the border. Because right now we have an invasion. We have an invasion of millions and millions of people that are coming into our country.
That's Donald Trump speaking in Iowa. Today, he'll be back in a New York courtroom for the start of E. Jean Carroll's second defamation trial against him. The first found Trump had sexually assaulted the New York writer in the 90s, then defamed her. In May, a jury awarded Carroll $5 million. At this new trial, a different jury will determine if Trump owes her more money for other acts of defamation. Israel's bombardment and siege in Gaza has entered its 102nd day. Palestinian health officials say Israeli attacks have killed 158 civilians in Gaza over the past 24 hours, bringing the death toll to over 24,000. The dead include more than 10,000 children. On Sunday, President Biden released a statement marking 100 days since the October 7th Hamas attack. In the statement, Biden decried Hamas for continuing to hold more than 100 hostages, but he made no mention of tens of thousands of Palestinians killed, injured, or displaced during Israel's indiscriminate assault. Major rallies calling for a ceasefire in Gaza were held around the world this weekend. In Washington, D.C., organizers said as many as 400,000 people took part in a march Saturday. The rally was held just 2 days after South Africa brought its historic genocide case against Israel to The Hague. Speakers at Saturday's rally in Washington included independent presidential candidate Cornel West.
Personally,
Dr. Biden and company. You're not just enabling, you're not just facilitating, you're not just coagulating and cooperating with vicious crime of genocide. That makes you war criminals yourself. You ought to be shamed. Who do you think we are? You think that you can suppress the love that we have for our Palestinian brothers and sisters? No, you got the wrong people.
Tension is continuing to escalate across the Middle East. On Monday, Houthi forces from Yemen fired a missile that hit a U.S.-owned cargo ship in the Gulf of Aden. The attack came after the U.S. and U.K. bombed Houthi sites in Yemen Thursday and again Friday. Houthi officials have vowed to keep attacking ships linked to Israel, they say, as well as U.S. and British ships until a ceasefire is reached in Gaza.
In support of the grievances of the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, who are subjected to the most heinous types of massacres by the Zionist entity, and in response to the American-British aggression against our country, the naval forces of the Yemeni Houthi armed forces, with the help of Allah Almighty, carried out a military operation targeting a U.S. ship in the Gulf of Aden with a number of appropriate naval missiles, and the hit was accurate and direct.
In Iraq, at least four people were killed earlier today when Iran bombed what it described as Israeli spy headquarters near Erbil, the capital of Iraqi Kurdistan. Iraq's denied the building struck was tied to the Mossad. Masroor Barzani, the prime minister of the Kurdistan region, described the attack as a, quote, crime against the Kurdish people, unquote. Iran says it also bombed targets in northern Syria linked to ISIS. The U.S. State Department condemned the Iranian attack near Erbil, describing it as reckless. This comes less than 2 weeks after the U.S. assassinated the leader of an Iranian-backed militia in Baghdad, which the U.S. claimed was done in self-defense. In Guatemala, Bernardo Arevalo was sworn in as president early Monday morning after opposition lawmakers delayed the transfer of power by 9 hours in the latest effort by Guatemala's elite to weaken the anti-corruption crusader now president. Arevalo shocked Guatemala's elite in August by winning the presidential election. Ever since, then Guatemala's Attorney General Consuelo Porras has led a campaign to block him from taking office. Bernardo Arevalo is the son of former President Juan José Arevalo, Guatemala's first democratically elected leader. Arevalo spoke Monday after he was finally sworn in.
Guatemala ha sufrido heridas profundas.
Guatemala has suffered deep wounds that require healing. These scars are not only reflected in indicators or in technocratic exercises that assess the country's reality, they are rooted in the daily experiences of our communities.
We'll go to Guatemala after headlines. Taiwan's ruling Democratic Progressive Party has won its third consecutive presidential victory. Taiwan's vice president, Lai Ching-te, won Saturday's election in a vote closely watched in Beijing and Washington. China vocally opposed his candidacy and has described the president-elect as a, quote, dangerous separatist, unquote. Lai Ching-te spoke on Saturday.
We hope that both sides of the Taiwan Strait can return to healthy and orderly exchanges in the future. Indeed, as you have mentioned, President Tsai Ing-wen has continuously extended goodwill over these 8 years. Unfortunately, China has not provided an appropriate response. The Taiwanese people have taken action to successfully resist the intervention of external forces. This is because we believe in electing our own president.
China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi responded to the vote in Taiwan by issuing a harsh warning to anyone in Taiwan who seeks independence.
Taiwan has never been a country, not in the past and certainly not in the future. Taiwanese independence has never been possible. It has not been possible in the past, and it will never be possible in the future. Anyone on the island of Taiwan who wants to pursue Taiwanese independence or split China's territory will be severely punished by history and law.
And the longtime Black liberation activist Sokoa Dingo has died at the age of 79. He was a member of Malcolm X's Organization of Afro-American Unity, as well as the Black Panther Party in New York City and the Black Liberation Army. After spending years underground, he was convicted in 1984 of charges related in part to his role in helping Assata Shakur escape prison. Odinga served 33 years in state and federal prison before being released. In 2016, Sokoa Dinga appeared on Democracy Now! And talked about why he initially joined the Black Panthers.
What attracted me more than anything else was the stand against police brutality, because like all the other ghettos in this country or black areas of this country, police brutality was running rampant. That was the attraction, the big attraction to that for me personally, and many of the comrades that I came in with, because we were not part of the civil rights movement to turn the other cheek. We were mostly followers of the Malcolm X position, that if someone smack you, you smack them back. If someone punch you, you punch them back. That your life was the biggest and best thing you had, and you had a right to not only protect it, but to defend it by any means necessary.
Black liberation activist Sekou Odinga speaking in 2016 on Democracy Now! He's died at the age of 79. Go to democracynow.org to see the full interview. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I am Amy Goodman in a snowy New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we begin today's show in Guatemala, where many say hope is blooming again after the long-delayed inauguration of the new president, Bernardo Arevalo. He was sworn in alongside Vice President Karin Herrera a few minutes past midnight Guatemala time on Monday. But that was not the time he was supposed to be sworn in. Opposition lawmakers delayed the ceremony by more than 9 hours as a last-minute attempt by Guatemala's corrupt elite to block his transition to power. The move sparked more protests, with thousands of people pouring into Guatemala City from every corner of the country Sunday to witness this historic moment. Indigenous leaders held ceremonies and rallies while Guatemala City's Constitutional Plaza and Historic Center were filled with people celebrating. Arevalo spoke Monday after he was finally sworn in.
What might appear to be simply the outcome of a political process and formal changes in institutions is in reality the starting point for a transformation that has begun in each and every one of us. In this shared horizon, we are united to weave the story of a country that we all aspire to see flourish and prosper. We cannot become accustomed to the daily pain or look away from the mirror to avoid recognizing our painful realities. We cannot limit ourselves to dreaming of the future or clinging to the past. We must take responsibility for the present and the present. Guatemala presents us with tremendous challenges that we cannot ignore.
Following his inauguration, Arevalo tweeted, "Guatemala is moving forward." In his first remarks as president, he thanked Guatemala's youth as well as indigenous communities who've led protests outside the Guatemalan Attorney General's office. Arevalo's victory shocked Guatemala's right-wing political and business elite, which has controlled much of Guatemala for decades. Since his victory in August, the Guatemalan Attorney General Consuelo Porras unleashed a campaign to prevent him from taking office, also targeting other Semilla Party members. Semilla means seed, with unfounded accusations of fraud and other claims. Bernardo Arevalo is the son of the former president, Juan José Arevalo, Guatemala's first democratically elected leader, who pushed for revolutionary policies when he was in office from 1945 to 1951. 3 years later, in 1954, the CIA backed a coup, putting an end to democracy in Guatemala. Supporters see Bernardo Arevalo's presidency as a new spring for Guatemala. For more, we're joined by three guests. We begin in Guatemala City, where we're joined by Andrea Villagran, Guatemalan Congress member with the political party Movimiento Semilla, the Seed Movement. Welcome to Democracy Now! And congratulations, Congress member. It was a nail biter right to the end on Sunday. I watched hour after hour. I think Arevalo tweeted, "Hold on, everyone. It really is going to happen." It took almost 9 hours. For us, it was after 1 in the morning, Monday morning. Explain the significance of his victory, of all of your victories, as the Attorney General has gone after all of you for so long.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation. And here in Guatemala, we are living now moments of hope and a lot of joy, knowing that finally we have a president that represents us and that is fighting for corruption and represents a change of what we have seen in the last decades. It's a change of regime from a corrupt system, from an authoritarian system, to a democratic one. People choose Semilla because people reject all the traditional practices of corruption. And the Arevalo administration will focus on provide to the people what we are expecting and what we are asking from a long time ago. We were going to fight against corruption and focus on rescue the democratic institutions. We will try to rescue the public services as health and education, basic services that all Guatemalans need.
And Congressmember, could you talk about the situation in the Congress with conservative lawmakers trying to stop the new president's program? What do things look like in Congress in terms of Semilla's ability to move legislation forward?
Well, what happened in Congress is basically that there's a group of corrupt Congress members who still want to maintain their privileges and basically impunity and corruption. They even try everything on the 14th of January to delay the Congress session by making a lot of illegal actions to avoid the transition of power. But we won in Congress. We are 160, and from 160, 92 members of Congress defend democracy, and we were able to make the transition of power by midnight of the 14th. So I think it was a session in Congress that was really hard and really intense, but at the end, the people won. The willing of the people who choose Bernardo Arevalo and Karen Herrera won, democracy won. So we were able to make the transition of power by the midnight of the 14th of January.
And could you tell us something about Semilla's history, how it developed and came to this point?
Yes, the Movimiento Semilla actually born in the protest of 2015, when we were in the middle of a lot of corruption cases, that we were showing how the lawmakers, how the politicians' abuses were affecting all our lives in means of health crisis and a lot of the huge cost of living here. We saw there was a lot of migration because lack of opportunities as well. So Movimiento Semilla started making as a political party with people that wanted to make a change. after two electoral processes, the previous electoral process, we were 7 in Congress. Now we are 23 members in Congress. And since June 25, when was the first round, and Bernardo Arevalo was elected, going to the second round, and then in the 20th of August was already Bernardo Arevalo won the electoral process. We are being under attack. More than 6 months, I will say, since June, we have received a lot of attacks trying to block him from taking the office. And we are being defended by people. We have everything against us. We have the justice system against us, the Congress against us, the former president by that time, Alejandro Yamatei, was also attacking us. And we were, who defend us basically was the people who went to the streets to wait to the, to make protests, just exclaiming and defending their boat. They're wheeling in the pools. There was a lot of indigenous leaders who defend Movimiento Semilla, not because we were a political party that maybe they represent their interests or they ideologically. It was more because they defend democracy. And what all these attacks in the last 5 months that we have received, what they have done is make a huge unity of the people, the youth, the indigenous leaders, all sectors, private sectors, I will say as well, that want a new chapter in Guatemala's political life to move forward for a democratic system. So people get united and defend democracy. And that's why we were able to get to this point. And that's how we were able to get transfer the power on January 14, because we have been under a lot of obstacles, but we have been able to move forward because we have the support of the people who choose us.
Andrea Villarreal, we want to thank you so much for being with us, Guatemalan Congress member and a member of the SEED movement, Movimiento Semilla. We are now going to stay in Guatemala City with Frank LaRue, Guatemalan human rights activist and lawyer. And we're joined by Lucia Ischiu, who is an exiled Quiche indigenous leader speaking to us from Bilbao, Spain. Lucia, we'd like to begin with you. Part of Arevalo's victory, in part, it is due to the incredible mobilization of indigenous Guatemalans. If you can talk about that mobilization, you were one of the student leaders in 2015 who helped lead to the SEED movement, right, to Semilla, and to what we're witnessing today in Guatemala.
Hello, everyone. Well, for me, see my indigenous authorities, 48 cantons or 48 cantones, it's an honor. I never imagined the idea to see our indigenous authorities taking the Guatemala City and recover the power. Because I think for me, it's not exactly to the party elections. It's not exactly about what are happening in this moment in Guatemala. We are facing against colonialism, 531 years fighting against slavery, because Guatemala is one of the most poverty countries all around the world. And the reality and the conditions until today is slavery. So the people are doing a free process. For me, it's a very radical moment. I never imagined that. I never imagined the indigenous people taking the Guatemalan City, because, of course, we always do the demonstrations in our highlands. We always defend the motherland. We always defend the territory. We always fight. We have more than 550 years fighting against colony extractivism. But right now, we know that we have to change the reality, because Guatemala is a dictatorship from the extremely right 17 years ago. This is not new. We only have the possibility to vote for extremely rights parties. So right now, that's why the people want to change this reality. And for us, it's inspiration. I feel honored to be part of the Quiche people from the 48 Cantones de Totonicapán, who is one of the leaders who the Guatemalan country have to be grateful for the indigenous authorities from all around the country because of that action, because of that strike, that demonstration, we have a country right now, and we can recover a small part of the democracy in right now.
And Lucia, you are now in Spain. You received political asylum there after fleeing from Guatemala. Could you talk a little bit about your own experience and the threats and the problems that you and your sister survived when you were in Guatemala?
Well, we lived 3 attempts to murder in Guatemala. I have 2 open cases for criminalization for being an indigenous woman leader in Guatemala to want to change the reality. And my sister, too. My sister lived an attempt, too. So all the time in Guatemala, the situation for the indigenous journalists, activists as us, increase, and in the dictatorship and in the pandemic of the COVID-19, it was really horrible for the human rights defenders and the land defenders in Guatemala. The murders increase, the situation, it was really awful, and that's the reason why we don't have nothing. We don't have conditions to be a Jewish case. We don't have conditions because it's a dictatorship. The persecutor office in Guatemala is part of the dictatorship. Guatemala, I say all the time, is a Jewish dictatorship right now. And one for me, the most of the challenges of the Bernardo Arevalo's government right now is to change the Consuelo Porras, mayor of the persecuted officer, because we know that she is responsible of the exile of a lot of indigenous leaders, of a lot of Jewish, of a lot of people who was part of the office of the persecution, and a lot of judges too. So they are responsible. Alejandro Yamatei, Jimmy Morales, who is the other president of the last government, are responsible. And right now, we can see a possibility to return to the country, but we need conditions, you know, because right now, we are not sure if we can return to our country.
I want to go to that issue with Frank LaRue of the kind of conditions that are necessary. And if the struggle, this inauguration of a new president, means the end of the fight against what are known as the Pactos de Corruptos, the corrupt pact of the military and governing and corporate elite in Guatemala. Frank, you are a longtime activist, lawyer, have seen what happened and know the history of 1954. When the U.S. helped overthrow the Guatemalan president for United Fruit, the Dulles brothers, right? John Foster Dulles, Secretary of State at the time, had represented United Fruit. He was his corporate lawyer. But what that meant for the hundreds of thousands of Guatemalans who were murdered over the years, and how that played out right through to Sunday, hour after hour, waiting for this inauguration with the last-minute skirmishes led by the Congress members and the conservative Congress members and the Attorney General. Do you feel that Bernardo Arevalo is safe as president?
Well, thank you for the invitation, Amy. And the answer is yes. I think, as my two predecessors said, I think the transition is real. And I was very glad to see that you mentioned there's two precedents to this. One historical precedent is that Arevalo's father was part of what was considered the first spring, which was then toppled by the 54 coup. But it's also important to mention that during all these years, we had dictatorships and military regimes, and we went through a period of genocide. So there's over 200,000 victims in Guatemala that lost their lives for the peace process. And today, 27 years later after the peace process, we're beginning to see the change in Guatemala. And I think this time the change is real. one of the issues to highlight, I mean, there's two. I think Bernardo Arevalo is absolutely trustworthy. Everyone voted for him, not necessarily knowing him personally, but trusted his honesty and trusted Zemilla, the party. I agree with Congresswoman Villagran that it was the enthusiasm of breaking with the past of corruption. But I also think that the other element to highlight, and Lucia Ishu mentioned it very clearly, this was the opportunity for the indigenous leadership and the ancestral leadership, which they call, to bring out their strength, to show the world and the ruling elites in Guatemala that have dominated with force and abuse, that this is a time of change. Guatemala is a country with serious cases of exclusion and differences, economic differences. There's a huge gap in life between indigenous and non-indigenous communities. And this is the time for change. And I think the change is irreversible.